Welcome to the Journey Together podcast with Joshua and Anna Gresham.
Hey, you guys. Hope you are having a beautiful day today.
A beautiful day. It's getting warm outside. It's like the best days. It's got the early morning where it's nice and cool. We love sitting on the front porch together.
Like we're, I don't even know, grandma, grandpa on the front porch, just enjoying our coffee, watching the birds.
The neighbors know that we're on the front porch because when they get near our house, they always look to our front porch.
And so we're
the
neighbors, in our jammies.
We always wave at them.
Wait, we're in our jammies.
Jammies, sometimes wrapped in blankets. We are like cheering every runner on in our neighborhood.
And we do not live in the country. No. Like we're in a neighborhood in our jammies on the front porch, drinking coffee.
That's how we roll. How you should do it.
I know. Enjoy the moment. It's peaceful for us.
It's very peaceful. Yeah. That's one of our escapes. But I think we need to invest in a more comfortable bench.
100%. Let's spruce it up.
As much as we sit out there, we don't
spruce
do enough.
Spruce it up. Yeah. It's time.
Well, that's going to happen.
You know, today we're talking about living life aware. And what I love so much about this topic is I feel like often people are like, oh yeah, I'm totally aware. And yet you're not. You know, like there's things in our lives that we think we are, but yet we still have so many areas that we're growing in that then whenever it hits, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
so it's good.
Yeah. Like it's, the other aspect of awareness that I've been, I think this word, okay, let me start over. Because I want to touch on what you just said, but I want to give everyone that's listening or watching an understanding of where it came from. But let me tag team off of what you just said. That awareness factor is unfortunately complacency. So sometimes you may be aware of the room, the space, the person, what's going on, whether at work or whatever, but just because of complacency, because of just familiarity, whatever it is, you may say you're aware, because you are, you're aware of it, but you're like, you don't care anymore. And that is what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, probably actually a month or so ago, the word aware came to me of just sitting here and just praying and thinking about life in general. And I preached a message at our church,
Trailhead Church,
where I just started a message series, and it's that deeper pursuit of life with God is the premise of it. But the word aware, so I'll in the link in our YouTube, I will put in the description section, I'll put a link to that particular sermon if you're curious about it. But the word came to me aware, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about that word and how I think it makes you a better person. The more aware you are, the better you are at tending to people's needs, the tending to your own needs,
right?
Of knowing your source, knowing where God is supplying it, how God's supplying it, who's supplying it, which is God. You're just better all around when you are aware of what's taking place. You're more sensitive to people's feelings, their emotions. You're reading the room, and you'll know, oh, okay, this is what that person's dealing with. You can see through. I think that there is a sense of, there's a gift within the Holy Spirit of teaching you this awareness, of being more of an understanding of what's happening. It's called discernment. So with discernment, you're focused in on people to go, oh, there's something deeper here they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And I'm going to help. I'm going to be that help to them rather than just being black and white, cut, be like, get over it, get better.
Don't you think that awareness, though, first, so often people are hyper aware of everybody else's issues or problems, and yet yeah, you're blind, walking around with a unibrow. You know what I'm talking about? Like, do you know?
Okay.
Right. Like, let's just, it's what it is.
You're so negative. You talk about, they're just so judgmental.
I think that sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I'm aware. Look what they need to do. And look what they need to do.
Right.
And look
No.
That's not what we're talking about. That's not it at all. I think that we need to recognize true awareness from the Holy Spirit is always to help. mm-hmm. and not to hurt.
Right.
And this isn't a self-awareness from the world.
No.
This is an awareness that you have a relationship with God and you've made Jesus Lord over your life.
Mm-hmm.
This is for me. I want such awareness that, and I know I'm not going to be perfect in this or whatever that looks like, but that I have a true concern and care for who God is concerned and who he cares about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's me and that's you. And this stems from knowing God's love in my life, because I'm tired of people walking around saying they're aware and really they're just mean. And then they're not working on their own lives. I don't want to be that way. You know, like I don't want to be aware of all of the wrong things that that you're doing, but then I'm over here, you know, living like a queen thinking I'm awesome. And I think that's an issue that so many people battle today. And I've had that issue many times. I'm a finder,
mm-hmm.
and I have to really submit. What does that mean? That means it is easy for me to go somewhere and find what needs to be fixed, which is good and a gift.
It is a gift.
But if it's not submitted to God, then it can turn to an awareness of problem finding in the wrong way, right?
Sure.
And I am black and white. So then mine can be pretty cut and dry when I address it. I think I'm kind, but I've got to really submit that to God. And then when I do that, then he helps me, because mm-hmm. I think that's a huge part of this, right?
Sure. Yeah. 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 I think there's so much we could talk about today. And I really do mean, like, this could be a 3-part series, which is going to be at our church. And that's why it became a topic of discussion for our podcast here, because after the message, you were like, man, I wrote down so many different things. And I myself have so many different things to talk about with it. I just, it's like where to kind of start, because it hits on all levels. It hits
yeah.
on your mind, your soul, your spirit, man, all of these things. It's
your body,
all of it. And that's where it's kind of like, where do we want to touch base with it right now? Because you just said, you know, like the funny example of the unibrow, you want to pick apart everybody else, but yet you have your own issues. And we know what Matthew chapter 7 talks about, of it's not about picking the splinter out of your neighbor's eyes when you have a giant plank in your own eye. That's not the awareness that we're talking about. The awareness is always going to be from the place that Jesus teaches us, which is an awareness of the needs of others, of how to serve, how to love, how to share the love of God with those individuals. That awareness is what we're talking about. But also there's a healthy awareness that you need to have. As you pointed out, being a finder, you can't become a finder to the degree that you consume all these things. Like, you're so aware of all the things that need to be done that you're like, you're constricting. You know what I mean? Because it's so much. You're just like, oh my gosh.
Well, you're constricting what? You need to finish that thought. What are you constricting?
Probably the bigger flow of what you're capable of doing when you have a narrower vision of just a few things versus this vast, for instance, some people always say, you know, people will say, you know, there's so much hunger in the world. Well, that's really big to try to tackle. But what can you do on a more narrow perspective of feeding? Is your family being fed? Let's start there first. The narrowing of, is my family healthy and whole? Fed spiritually, fed physically.
Right. Yeah.
Those, like, all of that needs to be done really well. It goes back to, and let me say this, it goes back to one of my favorite analogies that we say often, or that I say often, is when you go fly on an airplane, the stewardess says in the beginning little, you know, thing that they do, they stand up in front of you and say, in case of an emergency, oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling, and you have to place it on yourself first before you can place it on the person beside you. And that's because if you're trying to place it on the person beside you and you don't get it on yourself, you're going to pass out and you're going to be no good for anyone. So get it on yourself first and then start helping other people around you, okay? So it's important that you have to be aware of your own needs first, where and obviously your source is from the Father, our Heavenly Father. James chapter 1 covers all of that. So James chapter 1 brings into that picture of, hey, put yourself before the Lord and present these things to Him, all of those things that you need. If you're going through a test or trial, tribulation, whatever it is, He wants to supply that for you.
Okay. So no, just what you said was what, that was it. That's number one. You've got to ask yourself, am I following Jesus? And if so, Lord, examine my heart. Show me what I need to work on or what I'm still holding on. Open my eyes. The Word of God says Satan has blinded the eyes of people in the world, that there are blinders that so many people are walking around with, not recognizing that they're still carrying shame or hurt or pain, sin, whatever that might be, that the Lord wants to heal and restore and make you aware of His healing power in your life. So then you're growing as a spouse and as a parent, and you can read the room, you know, with what this looks like of what God wants to do. And really saying, Jesus, you lead and I'll follow.
Mm-hmm.
God, I want to follow you. But that means you're going to, you're going to have to make a decision to talk to Him and get real honest about your life. Don't you think that's a huge part of this?
Oh, sure.
Where a lot of times we're just not taking the time to get really honest about areas in our life. We're running, and it is extremely valuable to sit down and talk to the Lord and say, God, what do you have for me?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, open my eyes in my marriage, what I need to do. Open my eyes as a mom and show me these things. I am quick with my children. I go from 0 to 10, 0 to 60. We'll just take me to 60 super fast.
That's the prime example of what she's talking about.
Yeah.
In your own example for yourself, you're like 0 to 10. You're like, let's just go to 60.
Yeah. And not a lot of middle ground. I'm either super fun and awesome.
No, you're always fun and awesome.
No, okay, no, but I was going, or like I can get real intense with them about whatever issue we're facing.
Sure.
And I don't like that part of me. Mm-hmm. I am aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be aware, but then yet are you following Jesus with it and submitting to Him? Saying, Lord, you lead and follow in my attitudes. Help me. I want, God, I know that I have gentleness from the Holy Spirit. I want to grow that fruit,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like there are things that you start to discuss with the Lord and you say, Holy Spirit, help me. He's your helper. That's what you're talking about. Like He gives you this discernment to help.
Right. So let me ask you the question that you are a believer. I already know your answer, but I want you to expand on this a little bit more, is the awareness of knowing. And that is, do you believe that God is always talking, always in the room? Do you believe that God is wanting to have that conversation with people? Do you believe that, or do you believe the opposite, which is God is scarcely there, He rarely talks, and He doesn't really care about what you're doing?
I can't even believe you brought up the second options.
Well,
because
that's
just not even, He's omnipresent,
mm-hmm.
okay? So His presence is always with us, and He's omnipotent, which means He is all-powerful, all right? And He is the source of everything. But then also when we read through Scripture, we are constantly reminded that when we cry out to Him, He hears us.
Right.
That His Word is always speaking. You're like, well, I don't hear the audible voice of God. Pick up the Word of God and read the Word. Speak it out over your life. This is full of power and truth. Like, you can't make excuses for that, you know? And then you have discernment from the Holy Spirit, who He is continually teaching and guiding and revealing who the Father is in our life so that we can be more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So those are those answers come from knowing him. He said, you seek, you'll find. You knock, he's going to answer. God cannot lie. So this is the truth of it, in this awareness of, all right, and this is what you brought out. Maybe you just don't know, or you're not aware that God loves you. And in the middle of you figuring out who you are, it's truly figuring out what God has to say about you.
Yeah.
And how much he loves you. And that you are, I put this in my notes because I loved it so much. You have to run the race from approval, not for approval.
Mm-hmm.
You are running your race in life knowing, God, you love me.
Yeah.
I am complete in you through Christ Jesus. You know, that I'm not searching for approval everywhere else. This was huge for me, even thinking about our kids and being aware of their needs. I'm pointing them to Jesus. Of, I don't want them to go to anyone else for approval, you know? I want them to know that it's God, that they're aware that God loves them. Like, it's huge.
Oh, sure. The awareness that we're talking about so many different facets of this awareness, but particularly without sitting here and giving you a full list of all of the distractions and all those things, because we've had that conversation a number of times here on the podcast, but also in general, when you go to church, you hear the pastor say, you know, all these distractions that are keeping you from the presence of God, and you got to be aware of it. Well, I think with the aware part of that word for me personally, it led me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And this actually came to me through a group of pastors and just hanging out, and out of nowhere, it was like, this is it. This is where the word awareness ties in perfectly with this particular group of verses here. So it's Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and it says, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So then the question is, if it's not easy and if it's not light in your life right now, then this is where it's important to be aware. Aware of, why is it not easy and why isn't it light?
Yeah.
What have I done? What have I added to my life that is heavy? What is hard? Why is this taking place? And why aren't you taking authority over those things? So that's where the awareness is important. You know, are you feeling, you know, I had this conversation 4 years ago with someone on our staff here at the church, and they're like, hey, I had to stop watching all the political news. Why 4 years ago? Because that was an election year. And they felt so much angst, and just all of these different feelings were coming because they were aware. Why am I feeling like this? Because I've allowed all of these news outlets to feed me, and therefore I feel amped up to a degree more so than I should, as far as my feelings go with the political, you know, you know, atmosphere. So it's coming up. Obviously, this year is 2024. Hopefully, maybe you're listening to this and it's 2030, you know, and it's the future and it's already done. But think about the importance of knowing and being aware of what's being fed into you that's making it heavy, that's making it hard, and what do you need to do to fix this? So I know for me personally, when I read this, I want to now put everything I'm doing in life as if this is the filter. These are the verses right here that I put a filter up to, then all of that goes through the filter for me to go, okay, this is what I need to be doing, and this is what God wants me to do. And we've all heard it. I grew up as a 90s kid. I was an 80s kid, but a 90s kid in the church, and hearing this particular message. And that's this, you can't ask God to bless it after you've already dug it or built it or whatever. It's going to the Father first to say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And then God takes care of it because he is the one who's directing your steps. So some of you have a hard moment right now to ask yourself, did I go to God first? Did he actually want me to do this? Because that leads me to Nehemiah. I mean, Nehemiah went and viewed the city and was burdened by how big it was, as far as like the magnitude of the project of rebuilding the walls and all these, you know, infrastructure deals, you know, all that stuff. So what did he do? He fasted and he prayed. It is a big project. I don't believe one bit that he would have been successful if he would have went in there and did stuff without the blessing from the Father.
Okay, let's paint that picture. Awareness came from the burden that there was a concern. That's where the rebuilding of him going to the Father,
right?
I think this is us recognizing what awareness does in our life. It brings a compassion. It brings a concern when it's a heavenly awareness where you truly, once again, begin to care for what God cares about.
Right.
And then I love in Matthew 11, Jesus says, let me teach you. He's the best teacher.
Yeah.
That's a great evaluation. Are you allowing the Lord to teach you in your marriage, as a parent? Many of you are like, I don't know how to parent this season. Are you allowing the Lord to teach you how to parent? You say, well, how do I do that? By going to his word. God has so many scripture about parenting. And then he'll lead you to people that have been godly parents that have like gone through the ringer and can help you along the way. Then you've got to be willing to listen.
Yeah. I love what you're saying right there, because that verse really pulls out more of, I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's trying to train you and teach you in such a way to bring you that rest that you've been so desiring.
Okay, that goes for an awareness that I had. And it actually came whenever I was doing just a personal study out of Psalm 127. I ended up ministering on it at the church on Mother's Day. But the scripture that jumped out to me in Psalm 127 was verse 2. And I had to do some cross-referencing to really just like get it to connect in my head. And if you don't know what cross-referencing is, in your Bible, if you've got like a good little study Bible, there'll be like a tiny little letter that you can go to the center aisle of your page.
Or bottom.
And connect that letter with the other letter that it coincides with. And then it will take you to scripture that back each other up and just flow together so beautifully. So Psalm 127 verse 2, it says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. And I was like, all right, God. I asked him, I said, I need you to paint this scripture in my heart because I really believe it's for me. Because you said you give your beloved sleep, and I hadn't been sleeping real well, right? You'll attest to that.
What verse did you just read?
Psalm 127, 2.
2.
Yes.
Gosh, even that's what I thought you read. Verse 1, though, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain.
Right. I mean, it all goes together. Yeah, Psalm 127. Okay, so when you cross-reference that, it takes you to Isaiah 3:10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. And what the Lord asked me, he said, are you eating the bread of sorrows each day when you don't have to?
Right.
Because when you eat the bread of sorrows, we're saying it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, meaning, are you getting up early and worrying about things? Are you staying up late and worrying about things? Are you eating the bread of sorrows or sadness, fear throughout the day? And this is why you're unable to sleep? Because he told me that he'd give me sweet rest.
Yeah.
So I've got to be aware of my day of, am I feasting on the bread of life? Am I feasting at the Lord's table? Or am I eating the bread of sorrows each day? And then that's translating into our marriage, into how I parent, because I'm constantly at this place of worry. Give your sorrows to the Lord. Give your disappointments to the Lord. Give your worries to the Lord, and then enjoy that rest. Matthew 11 talks about, like, when you start to talk to God about your life and get honest, then there is that awareness. You know, King David, I love Psalm 51 because you have the prophet Nathan, and God sent him to make David aware of, hey, I can't bless you in this sin.
Right.
Right? And then you go, that's, and I love verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I love that God, if you're willing to be humble, and receive from a great friend that you trust or a pastor or a minister. I mean, I've had friends say, hey, you need to wake up to this, or, hey, God loves you. I can tell that you've really, I had someone this past week that looked at me, and I'm so thankful. I'll give Bruce a shout out Sunday morning. He said, Anna, I have three words for you. Be at peace. Bruce was aware that I was struggling, and he could even see it on my face. I had a choice to receive that word or to be like, Bruce, I am at peace, you know, and just reject it.
Sure.
And I made a decision. I said, Bruce, I received that. And he even became assertive. He goes, and I was giving him some excuses why I wasn't at peace. And he like interrupted me, which is not like Bruce. And he goes, be at peace. And I was so thankful. And I have the personality that can handle that. But I appreciated it because it made me aware, oh, I'm not at peace right now. And I've got some things to give to God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is allowing Jesus to teach you.
Yeah.
Right?
And well, I mean, we are hammering this without saying it, but you can listen. The direction we're having is the importance of yourself first. So going back to Matthew 7, that, you know, removing that splinter out of your neighbor's eye isn't going to be easy when you got a big old plank in yours. So it's important that awareness of who you are, what you're doing. Are you healthy? Are you aware of everything that's going on? And then, not that you're going to have it perfect, we know that to be true, but it is important that you then, now, as you're like, you know what, I got some things in order. You know what, I'm feeling led by the Holy Spirit that I can serve others, that I can do things, that I can be a blessing to the kingdom. Now, that's what you're moving towards, okay? But it's also just being more aware all the time in general. It's not just the idea of like, all right, once I get my life in order, then I can do something. So
no.
But at all times, to be aware that God's moving, God's doing something. Lord, use me. Here I am. Send me. What can I do in this moment?
Let's bring up examples.
Okay.
All right. When we first got married, and this was the Holy Spirit convicting me, became very aware that anytime I got mad at you, I just wanted to yell at you. So I had to make a decision to either yell all the time or repent and ask God for help. I actually went to my mom and I said, every time I get mad at Josh, typically when you were late, I would get so mad at you when you were late, but I would just want to raise my voice. And I did not want to have a household that it was like that.
Right.
And I had to take it to the Lord. But it first came from an awareness that I was doing it. Like, I think that's an example.
Yeah, that's great.
Another awareness. Sometimes you're more aware of what other people have, so you always feel like you're lacking.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
so,
a great one.
Like, you're aware of what everybody else, I mean, what is that called? Like, it's not just comparison. It's, I mean, it could be coveting as well, if we're honest about it, but yeah, it can go down that path. But you look at people and you'll paint their lives in this perfect picture,
mm-hmm,
when no one has a perfect picture life. And then I feel like you're hyper aware of the negative side of, you feel like you're always missing it. I don't have this, or I don't have a friend like that, or I don't have that kind of money, rather than looking and seeing and being aware of what God has blessed you with,
yeah,
and what you do have.
That's so important.
So those are two examples for me. What about you?
Yeah, let's go on to the marriage side of this. I can be so consumed with my own purpose in life, or, you know, whatever, that I'm not thinking on a larger scale of my family. So there have been times, like, for instance, I think yesterday is a great example. Busy day. I mean, one busy day yesterday. And not only was a busy day, there was just it wasn't a busy day like it sucker punched you off to the side. It was a busy day in the sense of, like, we had meetings scheduled, like every time slot was taken. I wasn't thinking, this is a busy day for Anna and I both. How can I suggest now, hey, dinner's at 6 p.m. tonight. What can I do to help, or what can I, you know, assist in, or whatever the case may be? So because I was tunneled vision to just get this thing done, get this thing done, get this thing done. Then it was like growl from the stomach and, oh, we're sitting in a eighth grade graduation ceremony and going, oh, hey, we need to feed our children. We need to do this. And it's like, oh, it just hit me, you know? So to stop and think, hey, maybe around, you know, 1 p.m. or even earlier, I'm more cognitive to, I need to discuss, hey, Anna's got a lot on her plate, because I'm aware now. Anna's got a lot on her plate. I have a lot on my plate. But we both successfully coming together can take care of dinner. How can I ask or help be a part of that? So it could be a chore that the one does more than the other, or all the time more than the other, but just to step in and say, hey, what can I do? So I tried to make up for it last night by washing the dishes.
You did, which I truly appreciated. So I think that's huge, you guys. Having an awareness in your marriage of see a need, fill a need, or things that you know bless your spouse is huge.
Yeah, it's the serving. That awareness to serve someone. Oh my gosh. And then as a pastoral position, here at the church, there are so many things. So many things. The people of our church are tremendous, by the way. We have a lot of good people at our church. But there's a lot of people that come in and out of our church, traffic-wise. And so the lobby, you can walk through the lobby and there'll be a wrapper on the ground. When I see a church member see that wrapper and pick it up and throw it away, oh my gosh, I think they're aware. They're aware that this is their church, that they have an ownership to this church body, and they want to make it be presentable and look good. So I'm so thankful for people who are aware of those things. And sometimes people just don't see it. Some people don't see trash.
No.
And so I'm not throwing them under the bus. I just know that they don't have that eye. But I'm thankful for when the gift is used to see those things. Oh, my goodness.
So we have three teenagers and a preteen at our house who will walk past so many things in our home.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're living in a season of teaching our kids awareness every single day. Right? I mean, if we look at this, and if you go back, you might say, no one really taught me these things. Now you're having to go to the Lord and decide to grow yourself.
Yep.
I mean, we're choosing right now to say, hey, did you not see that? Take all of your socks. We just have socks everywhere. People throwing socks all over the place. And
on top of that, we have a dog. The dog could be laying beside them on top of their laps. And they're just doing their thing, and they're not thinking, hey, I bet this dog needs to pee. I think this dog needs to go out.
Just basic life things.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, guys, we got to be aware of these situations.
So if we look at our own family and the fact that we've got to train our kids and teach them, how much more do we want God to teach us as we grow and mature as believers?
Right.
It's a great evaluation. Something that I wrote down for myself, made it personal, is... my heart is an open door for Jesus. I want my life, that my heart is softened and open to be aware of whatever God has for me. And one of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 139. You all, I love it so much. But the final two verses of Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
In the Amplified, it says thoroughly. Like, God, I want you to search me thoroughly. That's an awareness for me. This is a prayer that you need to grab a hold of if you're like, I want to grow in this. Then begin to pray this, and I'll say, God, search me thoroughly. Try me. Show me if there's anything wicked, anything that I've not surrendered to you, anything that I can grow in, just spirit, soul, and body, whatever this looks like, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting, because I want to honor you with every area of my life.
Yeah.
And when you do that, man, God, he's so full of love. He doesn't come in and just throw the book at you. He's gentle. Right?
Humble. Yeah.
Man, it is beautiful. And it means so much to me, just how much he loves me and how he shows me. And there are things that you have told me to do that I've taken offense to, that then God will tell me and I want to do it, which is not right. But we know that happens in life where someone's like, hey, you need to do this. And you're like, I do that. I'm really good at that. And you're like, no, you're not. You legit suck. And then God will be like, hey, I love you. I want to help you grow in this. And you're like, all right, God, I want to grow. So this is why I think it is so valuable to go before the Lord and ask this, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I mean, I feel like we've both
for
gone
sure.
through that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to make one more comment and then we can wrap this up. But I think it's with families, with a husband and wife, and there's so many things that try to divide you. And being more thoughtful, aware of how can we do things that are to bring us together, that would more of the magnetic side of this, and to be passionate, to be inflamed, you know, all of these good words.
PG-13.
Whatever.
Inflamed.
It's
that. What does that mean?
Really?
Sorry, just kidding. Sorry.
To passionately pursue you. So with those things in thought, then you go, I want to do more things. I want to thoughtfully pursue this more often and be aware of it. And that's why, for me, I want to be more aggressive with you, with things that we do, like just exciting things. Like, I want to make you laugh more. I want to enjoy more moments with you. I want to compliment you more. I want to dote on you with gifts and surprises, delight and surprise all the time. Those are the things that are just, they're wonderful. And to be more aware of that, it's great. Now, not all the time does it get received in the same way, meaning like they're not thinking or they're not appreciating on the scale that you think they should. But you can't allow offense to creep in and then you just go, I'm just not going to do that then anymore. Like, you just get all angry.
Right.
About it.
Don't they know what all I do for them? I've been guilty of that, of trying to give you my list of everything I do in life.
Sure.
I mean, it happens. I think you got to get honest about it, right?
Yeah. But you can't set false expectations. Yep. I fixed the washer machine a few weeks ago. It was a big deal to me because, yes, I'm fairly handy. I can usually look at something and go, hey, I can figure this out. Let's fix it, you know, whatever. And I'm not too fearful of doing it. Now, if you ask me to put a new shower in, I'm not going to do that. I'm a little scared with water and plumbing on that scale. But I got into the dishwasher. I took it all apart. Not dishwasher, sorry. The washing machine. I took it all apart, and I found this one device inside of it, and I think this is it. So I Googled the serial number and all that kind of stuff. Sure enough, that was it. I replaced it. I was so proud of myself.
Yes.
That I wanted you to be.
And I celebrated you, but not to the level that you thought in your mind.
Yeah.
Like, I needed like poppers and streamers and confetti.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, wow, baby, that's great.
It was a $22 part. Yeah. That typically most people put their washing machine on the curb because they don't know to do that. And now you're spending, what, $500 or whatever for a new one.
I would like
plus.
To publicly celebrate.
No, gosh, get out of here.
That's, you know what, though? Point. But for real, when disappointment happens in the middle of this, don't let it kill your joy.
Right.
Whenever you start this journey of just really being aware and trying to love on people and be concerned.
Yeah.
But it's got to be unto the Lord. Is this what we're talking about?
Absolutely. So that's why it's not, I'm doing it because I have promised her long ago to my Father in heaven that I would take care of her, that I would nurture her, all of those things to the best of my ability. And that is one particular thing that I did, but I am doing it unto the Lord at the end of the day. So I can't get bitter. I can't be upset or whatever and all those things. By the way, that was a very petty story. I was not upset that
she
didn't
celebrate
me.
That's everyday life. That's what we all do.
It is. But I just want everyone to know that if you are married, then be aware of each other's needs and put yourself aside to put the other one in front and to help and to build and don't get discouraged, okay? So now to wind this down, wrap it up right now. Again, start with yourself, okay? Becoming more aware of your source, which is our Father in heaven. Be more aware with the understanding of, I need to be focused on, are my burdens heavy or are they light? Am I picking up the yoke that God has put upon us that is light? not heavy, but as light. And then knowing that what he has for us is easy. So asking yourself these questions, and then you begin to eliminate some of the nonsense that's in your life. So then you have freedom to focus more on others and to serve others and to be there for one another. And that is the purpose of being aware. And you can obviously filter, as we pointed out earlier, Matthew 11, 28, 29, filter all of that, what you're doing through those scriptures. That's going to help you see through for your mind, soul, and your body, your spirit man, all of those things, to make it happen.
So being self-aware as a Christian is actually coming to a place of being selfless.
Yep.
I think that is what we've got to recognize.
Yeah.
We are not in a world standard of awareness.
Mm-mm.
Our standard is, I want to follow Jesus, and as he is, so am I in this world, meaning I'm an extension of his love. So it is that open heart.
Yeah.
It is that evaluation of examination and just really talking to the Lord and being willing and obedient to do what God's telling you to do. Is it going to be a step of faith at times?
Yep.
When the Lord starts speaking? Yeah, for sure. But I'm just so thankful that faith and God's love goes hand in hand. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So as we do this, you start to step out from that awareness, God adds the increase and he helps you every step of the way. I just believe by the power of the Holy Spirit that as we've been talking this whole time, and I feel like today has kind of been a little preachy, that the Holy Spirit's been ministering to your heart already about something in your life that he is awakening you to, that you can really just commit to him.
Yeah.
And ask for his help. That's my prayer for each of us today.
Yeah. I want to wrap this up, but then there's more and more stuff to talk about with this, because being aware of your prayers, what are your prayers like right now? Like, what are you asking God for? Are they big enough? Man, because God is wanting big vision, big prayers. He wants you to reach. And I think too often we settle,
yeah.
Complacency, we settle for things, familiarity with it all. We settle in and then we don't see change. And God wants to take us from next level, next mm-hmm. level, next level. And so that's why I would tell you, start examining your heart, your prayers. Get into connection with your spouse to go, hey, you know, what are you believing for? Being aware of what they're believing for, because the two of you should be on the same playing field, the same mind, one accord, that you two are both praying for the same thing. And so Ann and I, we've got some prayers that we are believing for. Sitting on our front porch. We're talking about we want to own land someday, sooner than later. We want to do these things. We're talking about ministry in the future. What's ministry look like for us? What's our children doing? We're talking these things out and standing in prayer because we're aware that the two of us are more powerful together than separate. Yeah. So that's important. All right. If you'd like today's podcast, send it. Share it with someone, like it, subscribe, all that good stuff. Guys, have a wonderful day.
We love y'all.
All right, bye.